So, well, believe it or not, the last time I preached to you from this position, not counting Christmas, was October 30th of last year. It's almost 2 months and 15 days. It's been a while since I've seen you from this perspective. Now, as you know, since that time, I have talked with a lot of people. I have talked with the Committee on Ministry at the Presbytery numerous times. I have talked with the session here at First Presbyterian Church a few times. And as you saw in the bell for January, they invited me to come and minister here. So, I do not call this a job, as you saw from the end of my letter in the bell. Thank you for allowing me to continue my walk with God and Jesus Christ by helping you continue your walk with God. But one group I have not talked to is you. I have never talked to the congregation other than preaching. Now, I fully believe, as Linda put in the bell, we, First Presbyterian, were not looking for Ken, and we weren't looking for Ed. But I believe the Lord answered our prayers and brought both men to us when we needed them. And I believe that this is where I am called to be right now. Looking at the verses in our reading in the New Testament this morning from the Apostle Paul to the church in Ephesus, he shares that same kind of love that I feel you are displaying for our community, for followers and non-followers alike. When he says in verses 13 through 19, "It's in Christ that you, once you heard the truth and believed it, his message of your salvation, found yourselves home free, signed, sealed, and delivered by the Holy Spirit. This down payment from God is the first installment on what's coming, a reminder that we'll get everything God has planned for us, a praising and glorious life. That's why when I heard of the solid trust you have in the Master Jesus and your outpouring of love to all the followers of Jesus, I couldn't stop thanking God for you every time I prayed. I'd think of you and give thanks, but I do more than thank. I ask for God, our Master Jesus Christ, the God of glory, to make you intelligent and discerning in knowing him personally, your eyes focused and clear, so that you can see exactly what it is he is calling you to do. Grasp the immensity of this glorious way of life he has for his followers. Oh, the utter extravagance of his work in us who trust him. Endless energy, boundless strength." So Pastor Peterson, who wrote the Message translation of the Bible, talks about the first part of Ephesians this way. What we know about God and what we do for God have a way of getting broken apart by our lives. The moment the organic unity of belief and behavior is damaged in any way, we are incapable of living out the full humanity for which we are created. Paul's letter to the Ephesians joins together what has been torn apart in our sin-wrecked world. He begins with an exuberant exploration of what Christians believe about God, and then, like a surgeon skillfully setting a compound fracture, he sets this belief in God into our behavior before God so that the bones of belief and behavior knit together and heal. That is what I have seen in this church, and I called it Jesus' church in the month and 15 days since I started coming here regularly. So in the beginning of February, on the 5th, as I said earlier, Pastor Eby will be back, and he will host our annual meeting where all the reports from the different committees will be submitted. Linda and Ken will talk about the year from a pastor's perspective. I was not called until January 1st, so I will not have an input on that, and rightly so. So I want to take this opportunity at the beginning of my ministry to share with you what I have seen that puts this church in the same category as the church in Ephesus 2,000 years ago. So I have seen, heard, and helped a little the food pantry every Monday and Tuesday, following Jesus' direction of feeding to the poor and the hungry. I have seen individual members and non-members who volunteer at the food pantry help direct people in the right direction to get the additional services in our community that they need. and they do it with a smile on their face. I have witnessed the men's group, even as small as it is, cook every Wednesday morning for the Optimist Club, and how the Wednesday night suppers are so appreciated by those individuals who do not get out very much. I have witnessed more acts than I can talk about here, but I want to talk about one act I witnessed that I feel sets this church apart from most churches, and that is how you welcome new visitors when they show up. My heart swelled up knowing that I was going to be able to be a part of a church that did that well. I have been to many churches in my life from coast to coast, and I have only witnessed that kind of love in two churches. My first was in a Presbyterian church in Portsmouth, Virginia, where that kind of love was extended to my family, which made me want to go back to that church for the next 7 years. And the other one was this one. I hate to say it, that I have more stories of bad experiences churches than I do good, from both my personal experiences and from some of my family members' experiences. You truly are Jesus' church. You are following his directions as given in the Old and the New Testament. I have also been told by several of our visiting preachers that this church is set for something big. So where do I fit in when you guys are all set to go? In these months that I have been visiting with all these other committees in our church body, I have been attending online courses that you helped pay for with your contribution to the presbytery. Thank you for doing that. Both courses addressed the constitution of the Presbyterian Church and were very helpful. The last class I took had a final project where I had to write what is called a personal statement of faith. Basically, what do I believe and what do I feel is my mission or calling in the church universal? Linda has asked, and I was happy to say yes to printing the whole document in the next month's bell. But when I wrote it, I was thinking of you specifically when I wrote these three parts that I would like to share with you. So first, I believe I have been blessed by God and Jesus Christ with the wisdom and direction and a call from the Holy Spirit to live out the notes of what's called the Reformed Church. A, to proclaim and hear the Word of God. I believe that means that as a disciple of Jesus Christ, I am to listen for the Word of God wherever I go, and to proclaim the Word of God by using the resources provided to me, whether that be via speaking, singing, reading aloud, showing videos, or having others share their experiences. Whatever it takes is what I believe the Holy Spirit is directing me to do. That means that some of our worship services may be different than what you are used to, as I want to make sure I do my best to get all of your five senses included in worship. To administer and receive the sacraments, it is my responsibility to rightly administer our two sacraments, baptism and serving of the Lord's table. To invite all people that believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior to the table and to follow Jesus Christ's direction to train everyone they meet in this way of life, marking them by baptism in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I think this one's self-explanatory, but it also includes funerals and weddings, as this session has asked me to do. And finally, to nurture a covenant community of disciples in Christ. Being a disciple of Jesus Christ means I need to set an example in my spiritual life as well as my personal life and reach out to all in my church, my community, my country, and in the world, irrelevant of gender or sex, race or religious denomination, rich or poor, and show them that everyone is created equal in God's image, and to spread the good news far and wide and to allow the Holy Spirit to guide me on my path. This is the one that I feel is most important. A young lady in our church told me there's a difference between a preacher and a pastor. First one has a tendency to wag their finger and tell you you're doing something wrong. The second one basically puts his or her arms around you and helps you along and shows you the love that Jesus Christ shows us. That's what this last mark of the Reformed Church is in reference to. I want to visit with you, talk with you, and do my best to teach you all I can about Jesus' love for us. That is the good news that Paul is talking about in his last few verses. All this energy issues from Christ. God raised him from death and set him in a throne in deep heaven, in charge of running the universe. Everything from galaxies to governments, no name and no power exempt from his rule. And not just for the time being, but forever. He is in charge of it all, has the final word on everything. Center of all this, Christ rules the church. The church, you see, is not peripheral to the world. The world is peripheral to the church. The church is Christ's body, in which he speaks and acts, by which he fills everything with his presence. That's you. You are Jesus Christ's church, and you show that through all you do here at the church and how you live out that belief. I want to talk about the bulletin for a moment. Now, most of my feelings and thoughts about the direction of the church I will put in the bell. But, I thought I had a bulletin. Can I borrow yours, Esther? Thank you very much. So, you can see the front of the bulletin. I updated it with our email. I put mine and Tiffany's email on it. Of course, left the church's phone number. But, if you want my cell phone number, I am happy to share it with anybody. I want you to give me a call. If something's going wrong, something's not right, you need somebody to sit with you at the hospital, I'm very good at that. I'm happy to come down. If you open to the front cover on the left-hand side in the upper left-hand corner, you will see by the cross that there are next week's readings. So that is all the readings we're going to go over next week. In the meantime, between now and then, I would like you to pray. I would like you to read these verses. I would like you to get into the Bible. And then see if my message that I have next week, that the Holy Spirit hopefully has come upon me and helped me with, that's the message that the Holy Spirit has given you as you read these verses. And then, of course, I didn't change much for the worship. But I am starting a class on Tuesday called Reformed Worship and the Sacraments out of Dubuque, another course. And it specifically addresses the bulletin. So over the next 4 months, there may be a few things that change. I am happy to talk with anybody if you think I'm going down the wrong direction. And then on the back, as we talked about earlier, announcements and my mistake with the other parts. We will definitely get that fixed up. Okay. So, I will leave you with this. In Matthew 14, verses 13 through 21, Jesus feeds the 5,000. The disciples tell Jesus that he needs to send the people away so that they can go and get food in the surrounding villages, because he has been curing the sick all day and is getting late. Jesus has sympathy for them and tells the disciples, no, you feed them. The disciples tell him that they only have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. So Jesus takes those 5 loaves and 2 fish, and he feeds 5,000 men, not including women and children. Here's the moral of that story. It is our job to provide the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, like the disciples did, and which you are doing here very well at First Presbyterian Church of Chippewa Falls. Jesus Christ will be the one to multiply those loaves and fish. God loves you, and so do I. Amen.